Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We're going to be debuting a new segment here very soon on the show as we enter into the summer months. We're going to have a hot or not where Jason will go through various NBA and NFL athletes.
Oh, no problem. I'd be very comfortable doing it.
And he will offer his opinion on their attractiveness.
Going to be tough to top Jaylen Brown right now. He is the reigning king of handsomeness.
I just think it's recency bias right now, right, because he's playing well. You know what I mean?
No, it's because he's handsome. It's got nothing. This has nothing to do with your playing style.
Would Caleb Williams be number one for you in the NFL?
No. If I'm being honest with you, not overly attractive.
How about Joe Burrow?
Just man to man
with the long hair.
You know,
you just don't. You're not really attracted to whites, unfortunately.
Sure,
are
I
you?
Am. Sure, I am. Don't need to be.
No, you don't need to be.
If you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, you don't need to be. Yeah. That you are married and you're happy. Yeah,
you guys should know by now, in 2024, you know, love doesn't have a color.
Man. It doesn't. There's no question about that, man.
And admiration.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have a color.
And respect.
It should cross racial boundaries.
Respect.
The last one is better. That's what they tell me.
I knew you'd find some funny in that.
Oh, yeah. No, it was great. It was like...
I'm not embarrassed at all.
I'm just sitting here
listening. That's how comfortable I am in my sexuality, if you know what I'm saying.
I mean, listen, I don't, not that I think that's a requisite, right?
Yeah, I like how uncomfortable it makes you.
But I was just listening to some good basketball talk, you know, about the three-point volume.
But ain't nobody want to talk about that sorry game last night.
And then I hear Jaylen Brown is a handsome black man. I mean, it just came out of nowhere, bro.
Strikingly handsome. Chocolate shaft.
I am.
Anytime you get the word shaft in there, that makes it 100%. Just zips it.
Yeah, y'all know Richard Roundtree.
I mean, that's really as good as it
is. The new Richard Roundtree.
Jason is on to something. When you're comfortable in your sexuality, you can have these conversations as married folks.
But they make y'all uncomfortable, so we'll.
No, it just really was. I wasn't necessarily prepared for the discourse to go there, which is fine. Yeah. I mean, I don't.
Calm down, dude.
It doesn't bother me. It's just like it was.
Lower the temperature.
We were talking about Derek White 3, and then, you know, it was like, you know, but he was, the pass came from Jaylen Brown. It was just an incredibly handsome,
you see how handsome
chocolate
a dude,
black man.
Shaft was Richard Roundtree. You see that that African-American brother right there?
Yeah, I see him.
Yeah.
Bro, Derek White caught a stray in that conversation. He threw him under the bus, didn't he, in the club conversation?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it is what it is.
Kind of got a stray. I'm like, Really? Is that repulsive?
Yeah, he needs Istanbul, bro. You got to hit up the hair transplant.
No, he doesn't need that at all. Again, look how free he is. Look how liberated he is after he went Murder One.
Right.
He's playing the best basketball of his life. It was the best decision he ever could have made.
It took him the trepidations, though, and the transgressions.
Again, when your hair is like that Kyle Anderson, Derek White going away, you're just hanging on by a thread. Everybody's watching you.
Yeah.
And you have to be self-conscious about that. But imagine what it does to your game. You're thinking about how people looking at your head. You shave that mess off. They don't see nothing but a, you know, not a handsome light-skinned brother, but a light-skinned brother now.
Yep.
They don't judge you anymore. And so it frees you. It frees you mentally.
Absolutely.
And you can tell in the way that he plays the game.
There's no question
about it. You will not get takes like this anywhere else.
No.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I think they're not going to be talking about that on First Take today.
Not how good he's been since he shaved his head.
No, they're going to be talking about Caitlin Clark again, I bet.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. They'll find a way. Devastation last night in the NBA in Game 1. Got a little update in college basketball that could be relevant to Memphis. Let's get to it in the rundown.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Okay, so bear with me here, but Coleman Hawkins, who we've talked about in the past as the Illinois transfer who was considering Louisville, Kansas State, SMU, he is no longer expected to visit Louisville. So that would take Louisville off the list. And I know that a lot of people are going to wonder what the hell this has to do with Memphis. Give me just a second. I'm going to tie it all together.
Let's go.
But Coleman Hawkins is now going to be down to Kansas State and SMU. As we talked about yesterday, SMU has a big NIL bag. If they do wind up getting Coleman Hawkins, mm-hmm. who requires a great sum, that would then open up Memphis's chances to get Arthur Kaluma, who will obviously have less leverage and maybe less suitors who are willing to pay as much as SMU is willing to pay if Coleman Hawkins does commit there. Now, Kansas State may find a way to pay him, and then, you know, SMU goes full bore after Arthur Kaluma. But that's the domino here. Not that Coleman Hawkins would be considering Memphis.
Right.
But that Coleman Hawkins, if he winds up at SMU, that would then
takes SMU off the board.
Very much clear the way potentially for Memphis. Now, Memphis is planning sort of some contingency situations here. They reached out to I can't pronounce his name. You're going to have to forgive me.
It's fine.
Garway Duel, I think is his name. Best I can do. Providence guard. Once upon a time was considered by some a lottery pick a year ago, but really struggled at Providence as a freshman, and that's going to happen, right? But I actually could see it with him. Like, you could give him, more usage, better situation in terms of conference play where he can maybe, dominate the competition a little better mm-hmm. than the Big East. And I could see him taking off. And they also reached out to Deshaun Ellen Allen Eikens, who spent last season at Cal State Northridge. Averaged 18.8 points a game, shot 48% from the floor, 36% from three. So that's kind of what it looks like, right? I mean, that's it's Kaluma if SMU gets Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
It's Garway Duel or it's Deshaun Allen Eikens, and I think that's the most likely in terms of the addition.
All right.
Now, again, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not here to – I wish I could dress this up a little better for you.
I'm not asking you to do that. I want you to give us the reality.
Yeah, and look,
and
I mean –
that's what you've done.
Deshaun Allen Eikens has been in college for 5 years, so you're getting, again, a super old guy.
Not longer than Antoine Jones.
Is he still in college?
Man, somebody sent me something. That man got another year.
That's crazy.
It is. Was that Penny's first year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It sure was. And then he transferred after the first one, right?
Yeah.
Had to have. Yeah, so that's crazy. Why not take a shot at him, man?
Might stop.
Got Musa? You could do it all over again. I don't know. I mean, you need something. You need somebody.
No, I didn't mean to sidetrack you with that name, but yeah, I thought I just saw that.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, he's still got eligibility.
Bro, he was at Memphis. He was at Creighton.
UCF, I think.
He's at UCF. Wasn't he at Louisiana?
I think so.
Bro has been at a new spot every year.
It's amazing.
And he's going to be at another new spot this year.
I think so. I think
that
he's still got a year.
Absolutely nuts. But that's how Memphis recruiting sort of shaken out right now. that you know, again, you're there are dominoes. There are dominoes that have to fall in order to, you know, before we see, you know, this roster get absolutely. They announced a bunch of guys yesterday, basically 8 of the 9, you know, transfers or signees they announced yesterday. And so they have a little bit more room here, but, you know, again, waiting on those dominoes to fall with the NIL. Coleman Hawkins eliminating Louisville from the list helps if you want Kaluma. You know, I mean, it takes it down to just two now. So if SMU just throws all the money at Coleman Hawkins, again, they're not going to be able to get both Kaluma and Coleman, because Coleman's asking for damn near the whole thing. I mean, that's what he's at. Bro, he's asking for $2 million.
$2 million. That's the number that's out.
Coleman Hawkins. Now that's now where, I mean, that's crazy, right? I mean, Coleman was a good player, but I mean, is he $2 million of a player?
Oh, he had a good combine, so it's the market, bro. That's what we said. It's what you say about quarterbacks. The NFL quarterback, it's
12
the market.
And six, like
it's the market. 12 and 6 with a great combine performance.
Well, it's really also the timing,
and his measurements were outstanding. Yeah. His wingspan, all that.
His timing was good. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. He's the best player available.
Right.
When it's the market. Are still, he would not have this market in April, per se, right? He would not have, because there were so many options you still have in April.
Not the ability to get $2 million or anything close to it.
I mean, I bet he probably doubled what he would be able to get.
You're probably right.
You know, just because of the desperation and the leverage that he's got.
Who's the kid of Kansas, the white kid? How much he making? That's been there.
It'll Hunter Dickinson?
Yeah, how much he made? Is he still a milli?
Got to be more than that.
Now,
gotta
right?
Got to be more than that, yeah.
So he's up there with the best in college basketball.
Oh, sure. Yeah, for right. sure. Coleman would be probably the highest paid, would be my guess, at SMU, if that's where it ends up being. It kind of feels like they're trading Kaluma for Coleman Hawkins if he goes to Kansas State, doesn't it? I mean, that's kind of how that feels. And then, you know, again, you just have to, you know, be in a situation where, because you can't beat out what SMU has in NIL, I think. I think that's the part of this that
right.
people probably don't realize. SMU's NIL is crazy. I mean, it's just nuts. So you're just in a situation now where there's so few options where you just have to hope that SMU can get Coleman and that he doesn't go to Kansas State. As weird as that feels. Again, if you want Kaluma, which Kaluma is the best option. He is the best option available. Like, he's better than the dude from Cal State Northridge. He's better than the kid from Providence. Like, he's proven. He's done it at the Big 12 level and the Big East level. He's really, really good. And I honestly don't think much of a downgrade, if at all, from David Jones. Now, do I, you know, again, that there's a lot of dominoes that have to fall before that happens. So it's something to monitor. But this is what you're supposed to be on watch for. If you're wondering, hey, what do I need to, where does Coleman Hawkins go? Because that's going to have a ripple effect. So that's the latest there.
I appreciate you tying that together. And there's your Antoine Jones tweet from early this month. He is in the portal.
Okay.
June 4th, still apparently with eligibility.
Hey, available.
I don't know how.
Hey, I've
been in college 8 years.
Jaquan Walton entered the portal as well. He just didn't have any eligibility left.
For fun.
Yeah, I didn't realize you could do that.
No, they said that name can be in. Don't mean they got eligibility, even
That's
though
his,
you can put your name in the on the list.
That's how screwed up
just
the NCAA is.
I'm entering the portal even though
aren't
I haven't.
You, I mean, you're doing. They should keep you out, right? Because otherwise, coaches then see your name. Those who don't know your history will actually do some investigating.
I think so.
And you're putting them at
that's
work
so
that they shouldn't have to do.
The NCAA, so. That's a mess.
So he should not be allowed to get in the portal,
that's
period.
That's a mess, yeah. Jason.
Garway Duel just committed to Seton Hall, so he is that's
well,
what
that's done.
Literally as we speak. So he is off the board. That leaves you.
That's the problem when you're trying to come late to these parties.
No doubt.
You know, they've already been contacted and have already got a straight line to the money already.
All right, so now you're
ready to pull the trigger in a lot of the cases.
Now you're looking at Deshaun Allen Eikens, and this is a, according to Jason Munns, a medical hardship waiver situation. So you're going to be waiting on that.
Oh, boy. That, and that's what
another
you don't
one
want
of these messes.
Yeah, look how waiting on DeAndre last year. You can make an argument.
Memphis is going to wait on a waiver every single year, aren't they? Like they waited on Jordan Brown in a way, didn't they?
Yes.
Maybe it was just an academic thing they were waiting on with him, but it wasn't a waiver.
Yeah, I think he was ready to go by the time it started.
You're waiting on something with David Jones. He was here a little late later than he wanted to be. That might have been a St. John's issue. But DeAndre, officially, you're waiting on a waiver from. You know, it feels like every single year, you know, there's some kind of way. Like, you got to stop recruiting the kids that you're dependent on a waiver from. Because, like, you just don't really – they don't go your way.
No, we don't feel like we've been getting them.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's your latest on Memphis basketball recruiting as Penny tries to finalize his roster.
Next story.
We talked about game one last night. And there, you know, the discussion there is pretty shallow. Boston dominated. One thing we didn't talk about was Adam Silver having his annual before game one of the finals presser, where he was asked about a range of things, including the woman you all mentioned earlier. Caitlin Clark even came up with Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA. That came up as well. One of the key things that's being written about is that he didn't sound so gung-ho right now about expansion, which we thought was imminent, to use that word again, a word I used to use quite a bit. We thought that was, you know, whether Vegas, Seattle, those teams, and he mentioned those teams, but he also pointed out how right now, you know, what does it do in terms of the talent level in the NBA if you add 35 new individuals, which you would be doing essentially in adding new teams. I feel great about where the talent is right now in the league. But those players have to come from somewhere in terms of what you would do. Like, it would dilute the pool. And while it has been, what, since 04, since we expanded, he didn't sound in a rush to do so. And I think, you know, maybe in previous years, last year this time, we probably thought, you know, this is right around the corner. Didn't sound like it, although that might still be the case. Also talked about, you know, looking internationally, obviously, additions in Canada. Guess what he did? He didn't mention Nashville, which I was happy for. Of course, he didn't mention Nashville. But y'all ain't getting everything over there. Was glad he didn't do that. Are they going to get a baseball team? Sidetrack, sidebar.
It's possible. I think they're in one of the front runners.
I don't like them becoming even more of a major league city. But now with the stadium that's being built, the fact they're going to have Super Bowls, it's just taking off. I don't think Elon Musk can save us in terms of catching up to Nashville. I think that toothpaste is out of the tube. Yeah. In terms of back to other things that Silver weighed in on that I thought was interesting, I don't know that we've ever seen this in any other league, John, and maybe if you remember an example, you can tell me, where the commissioner is weighing in on a show that covers his league. And in this case, it was about the Inside the NBA show, and obviously the ending of that. It sounds like this news is not official enough that Silver could lay out what's going on with NBC, Amazon, and ESPN. Obviously, he said it's difficult right now trying to, you know, piece that all out, give everybody competitive games and everything else. But he pointed to how bad he feels, and maybe this was, when Charles sort of singles them out the way he did, it not so much Charles, Kenny, Shaq, and Ernie, but those TNT employees, right, the ones that have been behind the scenes putting that show together for decades, how they, I mean, it's been their livelihood for their families. Silver even weighed on, I'm a producer on Inside the NBA. You know, those families of those employees, you know, that was a, it was a badge, obviously. And so their identities, their families have been wrapped up in it, and that's getting taken away. And he talked about how unfortunate, you know, that's the unfortunate part of all this. I can't ever remember, and it shows you just the staple that Inside the NBA was, where you've ever seen a commissioner sort of weigh in on the end of a, you know, a show that's had the run like that, you know, like this has. Again, he's asked about it, so he's going to comment. Was also asked about Caitlin Clark,
right?
And he said what we said, John. This stuff's been going on for years. While he did say there is a racial component to it, and I believe that as well, he said, you know, these initiations, like we've talked about, roughing up rookies, you know, high-profile rookies, that's been happening for a while, like we talked about. You can go all the way back to Candace Parker, even before then. And so asked about just about everything under the sun, including things outside of his own league. But for the most part, I thought the most interesting part was, you know, him saying how bad he feels, even in the having to do the business that is the NBA and its media rights deals, how bad he feels for those employees.
Yeah.
Doesn't do them any good, obviously.
But yeah, that was definitely a
you don't see that often.
Dose of candor for sure.
Yeah, candor, well put.
Yeah, I mean, I think that speaks to the greatness of the show. You know, it's the best short sports show that's ever been.
Yeah. You know,
Better than Pardon the Interruption, better than Around the Horn, better than whatever the NFL does, okay? Better than all of it. It stands alone. And I think Adam Silver confirms that. Not just for everybody else, but for you.
The pregame NFL show on ESPN with Berman and those guys used to be the one.
It was good.
I never missed it.
And is that where Rush Limbaugh
and then they
said
went
the thing
like
about
3 hours?
McNabb?
I want to say it was back in the day. But that might have been one of the postgame shows.
What did he say again?
But think about this, though. I can't remember exactly, because people have taken that and they've twisted it up, and I can't remember the words exactly. SportsCenter is still up there. You understand that. I didn't bring that to the table with you in our discussion of best sports show. You understand when you've got the right hosts on SportsCenter.
Yeah, but they don't ever have the right hosts.
The best
anymore.
Sports show. What are you talking about? Any show Van Pelt does is good. And then the two guys, again, whose names escape me, that they've got on the weekends are fantastic.
I mean, dude,
underrated.
I can't tell you the last time I watched SportsCenter.
We lock it. What are we talking about? What do you mean you can't remember the last?
I think there's been a big drop-off.
It's on in your house, period. Yeah, there's been a drop-off.
A big drop-off.
It's not Dan Patrick and all the...
Right.
I mean, think about all the names.
John Anderson, Bucci.
Even when Oberman was on, like, we would lock into those, especially those big Sunday shows. It's not what it used to be, but what I'm telling you is it's still one of the best sports shows out there and something that many of us are still tuning into, probably because it's just our damn routine.
I've got
ESPN on every morning.
Yeah.
You know, before I get up and SportsCenter all night.
I think a couple of things hurt SportsCenter for me. It's not the place you have to go to know what happened in the world of sports anymore.
Well, that's one of the big things that's hurt it.
And so I don't really, and I also think they've turned over a lot of hosts, so there's not a lot of continuity. You know, in the last 10 years, there used to be a lot, you know, continuity.
You kept those guys, they were paying them,
yes.
John, and it got crazy.
And now they just kind of put on anybody now, and it's just not the same for me.
Put on anybody?
Anybody, bro.
Put on anybody.
Where's Lindsay Zarniak? You know, she was.
You don't respect the way that Mike Eaves, like, had to earn his way up, and, you know, that was the sort of.
I respect his journey, but
right.
I don't.
And that was always the goal, and he worked his way up. He's now on it. He's made it big time and everything else. And Michael Eaves isn't just anybody. That man worked his tail off to go get that spot.
Who is
Linda Cohn still there?
Oh, is she doing sports in her show?
Bro, you really haven't watched.
I don't.
Yeah, she's still there.
Okay, well, she's a legend for sure.
Hannah Storm still does SportsCenter.
Wow.
Jay Harris.
Wow. I did not realize that. I mean, again, I could not have told you this.
These are not anybody's.
No, totally agree.
These people have been around for years.
But there are some new blood that I'm just like, you know, I'm not super interested. You know, like, you like Randy Scott. I don't like Randy Scott.
That's him. I love Randy Scott.
You love him.
And the other guy he's with.
I don't love him. I don't, you know, I'm not going to, you know.
He's fed. How can you not love his wit? He's much like you. Comes
no,
up with the
stuff. Don't do that.
Stuff.
Don't insult me. Don't insult me.
Saying that you are like Randy Scott is an insult.
After I've already
goodness,
told you,
have
I don't
we gotten
wanna,
high on the horse.
I don't want to watch SportsCenter anymore.
I'm going to send a note to Randy Scott. So
just,
you ain't ish. That's coming from John Martin. In
I'm
Memphis.
I'm shocked that you still consume it the way you seem to consume.
Dude, I have to. It's my. I guess again, I'm the old guy who's done it for years. It's definitely part of the routine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. I'm not saying I'm smitten by every anchor.
Oh, I think that's what
on SportsCenter. But yes. With the morning coffee, it's the first thing I do still, especially on that Saturday morning, baby. You got the whole thing in front of you. Wife's still asleep. Kids still asleep.
Yeah.
Man, I'm turning on sports. I got peace. When I got SportsCenter on, I got my coffee. And, yes, right now, unfortunately, it includes a black and mild.
Gotcha. And
but that's going to stop this weekend.
That apparently will stop this weekend.
I'm reinvigorated.
You trying to do that?
Yeah, I tried last weekend. I got through Saturday and Sunday. And then first thing, I'm thinking I got no stress now. John Martin's back.
Yeah.
Still wanted it. Because what's, again, routine keyword. And for the last, you know, few months, I've been preparing shows with it, everything else. That's the thing. You have to get through it. Break the routine. Once you get through 2 or 3 days, you're good. I was right there. I'm going to try it. Nobody want to hear me up, baby, because I've been through this before. Nobody want to hear about it. You're stopping and starting.
It's part of your journey.
Of
that stuff. You spoken in black and miles this morning?
It's embarrassing at this point. I mean, I need to have better willpower. I'm 47 years old, supposed to be able to call it like it is. And this is, you know, you're being stupid is what you're being. And so how can you, you know.
You are shaving years off your life the faster.
1,000%.
It's, so
we're going
to. Facts.
We're going to give it another shot this weekend.
Good luck.
And
you know,
hopefully.
They have that cessation program with the benefits we get. I mean, I don't know if that's useful. Are you use those?
I got to go cold turkey.
You got to just
like I did last
stop
time.
It.
Stop okay. for 3 years.
Man, that,
that's
3 years.
What real man willpower is, isn't it? Just
wow.
say no.
So what's driving you to want to quit again?
What Brad said.
Life.
That I'm killing myself. I mean,
yeah.
What
right.
are we talking about
no.
here? I mean, last year I was in the hospital. You know?
Yeah.
Last year, August or so, chest pains.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Tell my mom who passed away I'm going to quit. You know, there's that promise you made to her. So it weighs heavily, believe it or not.
And you'd be saving lots of money, right?
Sure.
Because don't you have to, like, declare that you smoke?
Next door.
I mean, next story.
I'm just saying,
what are you, man?
On
are
top
you with
of,
me or
no,
are you a
on
snitch?
Top of, I was going to say, on top of... The actual purchase of the Black and Miles themselves. I don't
know. Rebecca could be listening.
I don't know how much.
You're a real snitch.
I was not trying to snitch, bro. I don't know what you'd be doing with
I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, I don't know
Thanks,
what you'd
guys.
Be doing with your paperwork, bro.
Let's get Jason in trouble.
What does a Black and Mild pack of Black and Milds cost?
I'm not doing them in packs right now. I'm doing them in singles, trying one to tell off? Myself that you're not where you were, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
That way you gotta go physically to the store to smoke if you really want to.
You got it, because five come in a pack. I've been buying them in threes.
Oh, you buy them in threes. Okay. You're really skirting the system here.
Well, Circle K's got a great deal right now.
Okay, what they got?
Three for $2.50.
Okay, and you're going through three a day at least?
Yes. Sometimes.
Six.
Especially when you were out.
Six.
No, might have to get that fourth. Right.
Oh, four would be
still
your
keeping
max.
It under five.
But yep. you're buying.
Again, this is not.
No, it's
my kid could be listening. He knows how bad I want to quit. No, I've told him I got to do it for him. It's not something I like talking
about. So it's not really, you wouldn't really be saving that much money. It's not about the financial piece of it. Because you'd only be saving, what, 12 bucks a week?
15 bucks a week.
Right. That's nothing. You know? You really need, if it needs to go up, like cigarettes, bro, are just, I mean, they're punitive how much a pack of cigarettes
Yeah, that'll hurt you more in the pockets as opposed to the blacks, but the blacks probably hurt you more in the chest, in your lung area.
When the hell did cigarettes start being $20 a pack or whatever?
When they tried to get America to stop smoking.
Well, they didn't care about
We've done great in terms of the percentages of American smokers have gone way down. Yeah. Like, we've done a tremendous job.
Well, then you take it out of, restaurants, right? You can't smoke in restaurants anymore. You can't smoke, anywhere.
And you take down all them damn Camel advertisements that were bringing the kids in.
Right.
But now it's all about the vape.
My wife and I were talking about our shared kid experiences and how she grew up in a smoker's house.
Me too.
And you don't realize that you smell like
No doubt.
You don't even smell it.
Absolutely.
But those were non-filtered Marlboro days for her down in Mississippi.
Yeah. It's just on your breath, everything else.
Well, your house just starts to smell like it, I mean,
it's coated. Like, when I worked at my first radio station, you could smoke in the radio station. This is 30 years ago.
Imagine you smoke on a plane.
So I would take my fingers on the control board, and if you wipe the control board, if you smoke in a studio like this, you'd see just... It's spackle. It's tar. It's right there on the board.
Yeah, I was the same way. Like, my mom smoked cigarettes when I was growing up, And
did she quit?
No. No.
She has still... I think so.
I mean, I think maybe she may vape now.
Okay.
It's all the same, right? Yeah. People just get in that routine of, I have to do something. I can't just sit here. I've been doing something my whole life, either sparking up a cigarette or a black, or you gotta be busy doing something.
It's a thing, yeah.
Hands, yeah, it's just your brain is trained. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Your brain is trained to, I'm sitting around here. This is exactly the time where I would go out and I would smoke just to pass 15 minutes.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
first thing, get up, and then after meals.
Exactly.
Those are the tough times.
After meals.
Oh, yeah. On a full stomach. You ever seen, was it Stand By Me? When them kids say nothing like a smoke after a meal around that campfire.
That's when you started smoking
what are you talking about? Yes, off a full stomach. That's one of the best times to.
Wow.
You feel this satisfaction is what it is.
Yeah, I see.
Putting that smoke
I like a good cigar. It's been a long time since I've had a cigar, but I do enjoy a really good stick. But other than that, I've never been compelled to smoke cigarettes.
See, when I was off, unfortunately, and you would offer me a fine cigar when I was off the Black and Mild.
Can't do it.
Smoke that cigar, that great cigar, and I would want a black.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
And so going to try to blame me here.
Well, that's exactly what I'm doing.
You're going to try to blame me
here.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I'm doing.
Because
I would want to go back
John's
to what I was
degeneracy.
Used to. Right? Having that smoke. I was off. John brought me back
that's
in.
Fine. Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's where
I'm fine.
Since you went on
that.
And snitched on me about the human resources,
going
to go ahead and throw this back on
me. I didn't know, dude. I'm not.
You're non-gift-given, making me smoke self.
Exactly. I'll take that.
Okay.
I'll take that.
Well, don't do that.
You and I are direct about our relationship.
Yeah.
We don't hide anything.
I don't know what you declare on your insurance, to be clear. I have no clue.
Just please stop talking.
I'm not HR. I don't know. I assume it. We're all good.
Yeah, everybody's good.
Next story.
Exactly. We've done that twice now.
No,
keep
I'm just
coming
saying,
back to
everybody's good, folks.
The dismount is what we're trying to go to here.
Twice.
Next story.
We're not ready for the dismount just yet. Yeah. We need to just make sure that we're completely on the same page.
Because this is where you're most comfortable.
Highlight.
Messing with Jason.
We have to make sure on this. No, I'm very supportive. I hope that you can do it. And I know. I mean, I realize how difficult that is, man.
It shouldn't be.
I'll say a prayer for you this weekend.
Honestly, prayer works.
It's hard.
I'll smoke one for you.
It was the last time I got off. Remember, I told you this. It was the people behind me. It was the woman that written me a handwritten 2-3-page letter about how to. I was like, man,
you feel like you let
them
down.
And I had that. Absolutely. Every time I think about it, I look at that. I've still got the letter in my office.
You did.
And I'm going to reread it.
Yeah.
It can affect the organs late in life. I'm going through it with a family member.
Let's just make Jason feel worse.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't want to
feel it.
You're right. It will kill you.
We need to know what I'm talking 30 years from now.
No, not 30. That'd be fortunate. How about 30 days from now? That's certainly the risk you're taking here every single day.
Adam Silver weighed in on many a topic.
Yeah. Yeah, an expansion. I mean, as long as it's expansion, I got to tell you, I read that. I'm like, you know, you just get the heebie-jeebies. You don't want, you know, it seems like expansion, not relocation, which is good. But, it's like, Elon, I can't be too comfortable, bro. I can't just sit here and just assume that y'all ain't going to try to come mess with Memphis, you know? That's my trauma speaking. That's my
mess with Memphis. Don't they have to mess with New Orleans?
No, I mean, yeah. But it's an expansion. It's not a relocation. You're adding two teams. You're not taking two teams.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're not relocating teams. Yeah, we're talking about expansion.
As long as that stays the case.
And he's talking about maybe Canada. So
yeah,
no, if I'm Las Vegas and Seattle right now, I'm going, what? We're supposed to be next up. What are you even bringing them into the equation for?
Vegas is getting
for?
A team.
Oh, I know they are.
That's done.
And Seattle deserves a team.
They do.
Why did they lose their team? Because they didn't build a stadium?
You gave a team back to Charlotte.
Right.
Seattle definitely deserves it. If Charlotte deserved to have another team awarded to them, then so does Seattle.
Was Seattle a stadium deal? Had to be, right? They didn't want to pay for the –
I think that's it. Pretty sure that was it.
Yeah, I mean
– it's a key arena, or maybe that's what it is now.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's just – it's hard, man. I mean, you kind of feel like it's ass backwards sometimes. Like, why would we make the taxpayers – when we're billionaires, while we make the residential taxpayers fund this new stadium, you know?
How much is L.A. funding the Ballmer one? Or is he's most of it, I'm assuming, right?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to.
Need to look
but it feels like most cases are tax paid, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. even, you know, the FedEx Forum. But it's like, what's the alternative? If the billionaire doesn't want to spend his money and he has the leverage of being
Well, most
able
of them
to,
are going
to
build the whole stadium, yes.
Yeah, they can just they
that's
can just
the point. Or
up
I'm
and move.
Moving.
100%. I mean, that's the way it goes. It is kind of
so from Bloomberg, a lot of these owners in these bigger markets have a leg up on the small markets, not just from a city perspective and from the TV rights deal, but from an ownership perspective. For example, in St. Louis when they built their arena, that owner gets the money from the damn stadium. And the stadium was also help funded by the city. Ballmer, if I'm not mistaken, and this is not in the column, I think he's building that thing so he can get all the money from it because they're going to make a you-know-what ton of money on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's an investment for him beyond the basketball team, and they're going crazy with that building.
Yeah, it's 100% correct. And, you know, it's unfortunate but that's the way it is in pro sports. But, you know, what's the alternative? Losing the team, giving up the team? I mean, it's devastating. It's devastating. I mean, the Grizzlies, if they ever moved,
Ballmer owns it, and he's gonna get so he's gonna make all the money from it.
So
though,
he
too.
Is. But the city, you're saying the majority of the money. That's the answer to the question.
Yes,
but that's fine because the city didn't pay for it. So yep. I mean, if you pay for it, it should be your profit.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that's unusual. You don't typically
correct.
See the owner
usually,
willing
that's very
to say
rare.
I want all of this and I'm putting my money into it.
But
right.
Smart on Ballmer when you got that kind of spread. Like, let's say you got $2 billion in cash, which Steve Ballmer does with a couple of funders, like and sponsors. Like, put a name on the side of it. There's not like you get all the money from when U2 does their tour.
No
and
doubt.
They come through that joint.
If you have the capital, right, and the liquidity to do
Intuit
it.
Intuit Dome.
Yeah. So he's already got
a
name.
It's his $2 billion.
So it's different
than
crypto. They're not going to play in crypto anymore.
No, dude.
No, they're
and
out.
They say you can see this thing when you're flying into LA. They
it's incredible.
Beautiful.
It is stupid how nice this
and
thing is.
It, when will it be ready?
It says
I want to tell you next year. Like it's close. It might be the
6 month countdown to its opening in mid August. So we're less than 4 months from this thing.
Yeah.
It's close.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and that's the way you should do it. If you have the ability to upfront
the Inglewood,
why would you split with the city? Why would you split any of it with the city if you can? You know, because you're right. There's more than just NBA. There's tours. There's concerts.
God.
There's other venue things you could do in LA. It's LA for God's sake. It's not like he's having to bet on Milwaukee here.
Right.
I mean, it's LA. So that's what you absolutely should do. And it's not the option that you know we have in Memphis. But whatever. I mean, if Seattle could do it all over again, I guarantee you they would. They would absolutely they would have come up with the money and done whatever they had to do to keep because it's just been devastating ever since.
And it's why the Smiths have stepped forward. It's why to unlock that. They realize how important the Grizzlies are to the city.
Yep.
It wasn't just to help the University of Memphis. It was to unlock the facilities deal for both of them.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Need to keep them.
Next story.
All right, game one last night. We have not talked a ton about it, and probably appropriately so, because it was, save for one miniature run there in the third quarter, it was a drubbing by the Boston Celtics. And it was fairly effortless, really. It just looked effortless. Again, one run to cut it to eight there in the third quarter, but the Boston Celtics do win the game 107-89. They cover all numbers. Porzingis made his return off the bench, had 20. He was awesome. He was awesome last night, not really showing any signs of rust whatsoever. But the story of the game was really twofold. One, the three-point shooting by the Boston Celtics. They were 16-42, shot 82 shots for the entire game. So more than half of their shots were from three, 38% from three, which is a pretty good clip. So that was one story. I believe the Celtics are 35-4 when half or more of their shots come from the three-point mark. Not makes, but attempts, which is interesting. So 35-4. And then the other storyline here is just the depth. It's what you've heard all season long about the Celtics, how they just have so many different ways that they can come at you. And now that they're bringing Porzingis off the bench, I mean, that's just like, it's kind of sick. It's kind of disgusting how much they have. I mean, even getting eight from a guy like Sam Hauser, but everybody that played pretty much and got real minutes was in double figures. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, Holiday, Derek White, Porzingis. Again, Hauser had eight. They just have so many different ways they can beat you. And again, what can you do if everything is a damn three?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all you can do is defend it as best you can. It is a little frustrating to watch, though, to your point. Like, it feels like a bastardization.
We said the same thing about the Rockets when Harden was down there.
That's right.
And they were just jacking.
That's right. And
53s a game. Didn't like to watch it.
And it wasn't a winning brand because it was Harden. But, you know, you kind of wonder watching it in that third quarter. And like, do y'all have any other shot? You know what I mean? Like, okay, you're shooting threes, but like the lead is now eight.
Yeah,
it was 29 right, or whatever it was. Like, you guys like have anything you can go to that's a little bit more high percentage?
Yeah, run some stuff.
Yeah, like it seems like they don't really. And again, the Mavs will adjust. They're going to obviously, you know, there's a couple of days off in between here. They're going to watch the film and see how they can make maybe Porzingis a little less effective, however that may be. But that is they're up 1-0 in the finals, so it's a good place to be. But that would be my concern.
Yeah.
If they are, you know, do you guys, if you are on the wrong side of a run, what are you going to go to other than a three? Because, you know, 38% is not lighting the world on fire either.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're 48%. So that would be my, you know, concern for the Celtics. My concern for the Mavs is like, it looked ugly last night for them. I mean, Luka did what Luka does, and Kyrie was bad. But, like, okay, Kyrie will be better. Where is the rest of it going to come from? You know, that's my concern.
Well, I'm glad you went here, because I think if the most impressive number about last night, or one of them, you could argue it is the most impressive, is the fact that you held Luka to one assist. He had, so there were six opportunities for him to have assists, and on five of them, the guys missed shots. But when was the last time you saw Luka Doncic one assist,
especially in
a postseason game? You haven't, because this is career low. And how does that happen? Well, Boston elected to guard him one-on-one. Same thing for Kyrie. So the both of them, we're just coming off of series. We're talking about it, you know, and saying, my gosh, look at how Luka and Doncic, I mean, Luka and Kyrie, they make these bigs offensive threats because of their ability to penetrate and hand it off for the lobs or whatever else. Or P.J. Washington, a factor, because he's wide open in the corner for threes. That was not happening last night, because Boston has elected to guard the other guys and just hold Doncic and Kyrie one-on-one. And it led to three assists between those two unbelievable playmakers. And so that was, you're right, John. I mean, from a rebound standpoint, a point standpoint, you say, what more can you get from Luka? It was 30-10. But the fact that he only had one assist was just so anti what they have done all playoffs. And it's a credit to Boston that something that you had planned and hoped for was that effective. Again, you're not going to be that effective, you wouldn't think, because Luka's so great at adjustments. And now the challenge is for him, dude, I've got to cut my guy up one-on-one and force them out of this, force them to a situation where they've got to help on me. For Kyrie, it's got to be the same thing, to, again, get those role players back into spots where they can actually be threats again. And the Celtics just took everybody else out. And then you add in that Kyrie goes 6 of 19, and you get a one-sided affair like you got. But there, you know, six guys in double figures. Porzingis, awesome. All that was super impressive. But what that game plan defensively,
yep,
and holding Luka Doncic to one assist and the two of those playmakers to three between them was as impressive as anything else they did last night.
Yeah, no question. And I think that's, you know, that's going to have to be something that you figure out. And maybe they can't. I mean, we are in the end talking about a five seed.
If they can hold you one-on-one, they'll let you get 30 points.
Absolutely.
If nobody else is doing anything.
It's like what you know what it's like? It's like what UConn did to Purdue in the championship game. They guarded Edie one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, listen, you know, we're not doubling you, you know.
In the second half, they ran a couple at him and
they threw the adjustment up.
But you're right, that's the way they started. I think it threw them off.
Yep.
Threw Purdue off because they were so used to the double team coming in. Edie's so good at getting it out for threes.
They just felt so confident in their matchups defensively with everybody else, and they were right. That, listen, Edie, you're going to do what you do.
Let's stop everybody else.
We're not going to give these guys open shots.
We're not going to double him and give him open shots. And that's exactly what Boston, that's the strategy they employed.
They've got the length. They've got the defend. You know, the defenders, you know. And I think it's
like Sane said, you could put Derek White and Drew Holiday on him before you even think about putting Brown and Tatum. And what does that do? It frees them up in a way that you couldn't do for Anthony Edwards last series.
Exactly.
That was such a great point that Sane made on that. He's right. And Drew's a championship guy in terms of defending. And you're seeing Derek White, you know, continue to be so efficient and impactful on the defensive end.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So game two is Sunday. So you have tonight, you have tomorrow night. I see no reason why it couldn't be Saturday night. Like, that kind of is weird to me because
it's all about stretching it out.
Game three is still Wednesday, right?
You're trying to get to the draft, right? You're trying to be all year long. So you're just stretching it out to try to get as close to the draft and make yourself year round as possible. I hate it. I hate it. While I understand it, the approach, I hate it.
Yeah, because it just kind of feels like it loses steam a little bit, doesn't it? Especially if it's a non-competitive series.
Well, yeah. You ain't the NFL. Like a long layoff in the NBA. We didn't, you know. We'll wait on it with the NFL.
A week felt like forever.
It did.
The week from the conference finals ending to last night.
They didn't need more than 3 days.
Felt like a whole new season, bro. Like, we're on to 24-25, damn near. But, yeah, game two is on Sunday, 7 o'clock. We're going to have some Fade Brad. So the lines are out, the numbers are out. How many picks today, Brad? One, we're going to have any bonus?
We'll get a bonus.
You know,
unfortunately, I feel very comfortable picking who I'm about to pick in this upcoming segment.
No, it's not good because he's actually on a little bit of a run in terms of he's winning too much.
Well, here's the thing.
Right,
should we include the bonus picks in the total?
I mean, we need to get you back to uncomfortable.
I'm trying to be integrity.
If Brad is comfortable, that makes me feel better. Right, it's I'm just telling you, because Brad doesn't know which is wrong and which is right.
He's getting real comfortable with Celtics.
Well, that's
minus
true.
6.5. Let me tell you that.
That's
I'd
true.
Be shocked if he'd taken Dallas. Yeah. Well, he'd be switching it up now.
Listen, there's two possible outcomes.
We need Dallas to step up.
When you're talking about one series, two teams, this is where honestly a Stevie Wonder can pick a pick a winner. It's not like it's when you have six games a day. Go 5-1.
You know what's interesting?
You can't do that.
About last night's game, obviously got close there in the third period. But if you look at the final score, 18 points, that game felt like a 30-point game the whole friggin' way.
Well, it was. It was.
At one point.
Yeah.
I mean, it was out of hand in that first half.
I think that was like the thing about the Celtics that I will say, like, I'm super impressed by the fact that they could just take an 8-point lead and just turn it into, like, magically 22.
Exploded.
In the span of, like, a minute or two. It's like, it was pretty.
When they stopped shooting threes.
Exactly.
And decided we're going to put a foot down.
That was exactly right.
A couple of dunks from Porzingis. They got to the free throw
line. I thought what Jace Kidd had said at halftime, it worked.
What'd he say?
Didn't you see his halftime speech? They had a camera in there.
Yeah.
And he was like, we're acting like we're shell-shocked or something. We belong here. But his point was, we're gonna go out there and win this third quarter, and then we'll win the fifth. And when they made the run to 8 points in the third quarter, I was like, man, they really believe in
him. Their closeouts were piss poor, though. Like, their perimeter defense, awful.
Well,
awful,
and
that's
that was a big letdown because they had been so good defensively.
Awful.
Look what they did to Minnesota defensively.
Just took them out.
And so I don't know, Brad, that you can be effective against a Boston team that's got that many guys that can shoot threes, go to the basket, and then you got, now Porzingis is back. I told John's text, I forgot how much of a defensive presence. How about that block he had at the
and
rim?
Dunk.
Who's that? Josh Green tried to dunk on him, and he blocks it. Like, I had forgotten how
he's a freak.
Real a defensive presence he is.
You forget when don't see him.
And not to mention the offense. I mean, his offense was right there from the beginning. As soon as you put him in, he's shooting over those smaller defenders. They've just got too many options. And again, It was a reminder of how there is no excuse for Boston not to win this thing. It's your turn, so you better cash in.
Yeah. But yeah, game two is on Sunday. We'll get Brad's picks here in just a little bit. You got one? Are we?
Oh, no, that's it.
All right, we're going to take a break.
Get to Faye, Brad,
come
the most
back. Rob Doster also going to join us at 125. Talk to him about Dan Hurley, UConn, the decision here. Get his thoughts on Memphis's offseason. Lots more to come. Jason and John, I return to FM, ESPN. We'll have a game two on Sunday. Got to get those Faye, Brad picks in. Let's get it.
Now, it's Jason and John's Producer Brad Sucks at Sports Gambling segment.
Brad, you suck at this.
My man Carson is the worst gambler I've ever heard, bro.
It's time to Fade Brad. Fade Brad on 92.9.
All right, America Square is 31-42 after a win last night.
Damn it!
Disappointed Fade Brad bettors all over the country.
Now,
he was on them Celtics, man.
Up 7.9 units.
7.9 units. We're still up through these playoffs, and this is a very good sample size. So Brad Fader's hitting at 57.5% right now. I will tell you that bonus bet there, he had the Porzingis under, so that did help us out, even out the night a little bit there. And his bonus bets now are 3-6.
Yep.
So that's 6-3 if you are fading. Certainly good enough reason to be paying close attention to what Brad's got in the bonus as well. And with that, we go to the, what is the most recent number, John? It's something we've done dish now. Up to the second
seven
number.
Still have a fan.
Seven. It is now. I had 6.5 this morning. We're up to 7. Mm-hmm. Celtics minus 7. Brad.
Well, it opened at ESPN Bet, according to my research project, which is simply opening the ESPN website. You guys know how thorough I am with this whole thing. 7.5 is what it opened with, and it was started at 6.5, it looks like, on the opposite side of the spectrum at FanDuel. But, you know, Celtics look friggin' unbelievable last night. We were sitting at Laughlin Yard for a sort of a goodbye party
y'all got to
Mark Giannato. And there was a group of Celtics fans sitting next to us, so, you know, I was... It's a weird deal because I root against these picks for our listeners. You know, I make them. They're integrity picks. Like, I'm not BSing you. So I got to pick the Celtics. Like, I'm not going to BS y'all. The Celtics look friggin' unbelievable. I'm going to be a man of integrity with these picks. I'm not going to just go, hey, Mavericks, you know, plus 7 just because I want to, you know, go against my morals and doing the, it's like some fake radio bit. It's not. I'm picking the Celtics minus 7.
Oh, there you go. A little surprising, I would say. A little surprising.
I'm not surprised at all.
You're surprised?
I thought you might go for the bounce back from Dallas.
Like a plus 7, take
them
points?
Because Jason was talking about how bad they've been in game ones, you know, and they've adjusted, and they've always made
until series.
Until
the Minnesota series.
Yeah, until that
they
one.
They had lost 5 straight games.
A kid notorious for being bad.
Very, very much so.
As a game one coach.
Yeah, that's fair.
And also notorious for figuring some things out, right, a little bit later in the series.
That perimeter defense was bad. Having Porzingis healthy is bad. By the way, that's a little teaser for what my bonus pick will be again tonight. But I'm going away from what I did last night, which was, you know, I saw Porzingis last night. I'm like, he ain't going to be right. He sat out the whole Indiana series. And that guy looked
like... You knew it as soon as he got in the game.
Oh, my God.
Started knocking down jump shots.
So the teaser, the extra bonus pick here is Porzingis over 15.5 points.
Over?
Over
tonight.
You're
not going over?
No, no, no. We went the other way.
He went the other way.
I'm trying to make my money back after losing.
I mean, these are true integrity picks.
Yeah.
This is not a guy trying to pick losers.
I'm not going
to
come on here and just be part of a fake radio bit. You know, like, I got to have some integrity.
Yeah, John, know that this is real. And it's remained that way even through the time that you were gone.
This
it's
is
still
real.
Very real.
All right, so
pure picks.
What do we have for Sunday? We have Celtics minus 7 and...
And Porzingis over the 15.5 points.
15.5.
Yeah, so
it's 16.
So if you are fading, you would go Mavs plus 7.
Yep.
Porzingis under points.
That's right. How do you feel about that, John?
I mean, I think they're correlated. I'll say that.
I like that the number went up. I like for our faders that the number went up for Boston.
It's a lot of points,
I knew you were going to be on the
Boston
side. I
think I will be. You know, what's funny is I said I think I liked Dallas yesterday. I actually faded myself and rode the Celtics.
Oh, that's right, because you won Dallas in the points.
Yeah, and I played Dallas.
Thank goodness you faded yourself.
With the points.
I've been so bad in the playoffs.
Wow.
I was like, you know what? Everything I think has been wrong, and so I'm just going to go with the Celtics here. Trust the spot, and it was really never much of a sweat.
Not at all.
I do believe I will end up getting on to Dallas on Sunday, though. I do think I will be fading you, Brad, because I'm going to trust that they will shoot better than 28% from three.
Kyrie will be better.
Yes, that there are going to be some things that regress. And even as badly and as poorly as Dallas played, They cut a 29-point lead to 8, mm-hmm. you know, in the span of, you know, 8 minutes, yep. right? So, and plus Boston's notorious. Don't they drop game twos? And this is where the last happened.
Pacers previously, until the Pacers, right?
Yeah. Until the Pacers.
Honestly, they should have lost game one in that series.
They basically lost it, essentially. They didn't, but you saw
it. But it was three straight going back to last year's Eastern Conference Finals game twos until Pacers. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it took a miracle shot, you know, for that series to not be 1-1. So I will say that, you know, that's the beauty of the spread. Dallas does not have to win the game to cover 7.
It's a beautiful thing.
That's a big number, you know?
It's a big number.
It's enough of a number to have some wiggle room.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
I do.
You know, I mean.
This is a very losable pick by me. So, you know, if you're fading it, it's probably a little better odds than the first one.
But it's an integrity pick. That's what I like about it. You're rolling with what you saw last night.
I think they'll do it again.
So, again, I was on Boston. You were on Boston last night against the spread. What I will say about.